not. So I don't know if you have ever been part of an organization, a charity, anything like that, where you were taught a motto. And it's to reiterate, really, the vision of that organization. I have one that has stuck with me for a very, very long time, since I was, I think, 11. I joined this organization, and it is seek, serve, and follow Christ. Now, hopefully, you will see the hat that I wore. Does anybody know? It is the Girls Brigade. I was a brigader. I needed to march along and all the rest of it. And that was me. Thoroughly enjoyed being part of the Girls Brigade. And that was our motto. And the actual vision for the Girls Brigade was girls' lives transformed, God's world enriched. That was it. Very simple. And if you did seek, serve, and follow Christ, you indeed would have your life transformed, as I did in accepting Christ. And you would hope that has helped make God's way into the world a little bit easier. So I wanted to bring that as a starter this morning because it was simple. And today is still part, this second part. Steve spoke last week on the first part of the introduction to our new series. And this is really the second part, putting some meat on the bones for what the vision is here at Forest Gate Church. And really, these four words here, they are not the vision. And we actually have a mission, vision, statement. I don't know if many of you know it off by heart, but it's going to come up on the screen. Is it up there? There we go. Can we just say this together? Because this is what it is. To glorify God and extend his kingdom by living and proclaiming his truth in our community. That is it. It is simple, but there is an awful lot packed in there. And these four words really are like our motto. So this is how we do it. This is how we fulfill that vision. Churches often, we call it mission statement, but it really, that's our vision, to be able to glorify God, extend out into all of the areas that we can touch for him, to proclaim who he is in our community. So what does that look like for here at Forest Gate Church? Now, these four words, they are around you every single Sunday when you've come to worship. And I'm sure Steve might be able to help me out here. How many years they have been up? Is it about 12?
2007.
Okay. So we're 2020. Wow, it was more than I thought, 13. So they are up around. And I think Bill shared this in home group this week. Do you know when you've newly decorated a room and you've got this lovely new wallpaper up, and every time you go in the room, you go, oh yeah, you've got new wallpaper. And it was like that when these words first came. Like, oh, yes, that's right. Those are the words. And then after a while, you don't actually... I don't know if any of you can tell me what wallpaper's on your bedroom or in your lounge. But sometimes we're like, oh, I don't know, really. I don't even look at the walls anymore. And we don't look at what's around us. When it's been there for 13 years, which is why it's really important to remind each other of what these words are. So we have serve, reach, nurture, and send. And yes, you can use them in other ways and other orders at times. But it's important to use them in this way just to be able to share what we feel these words can be used to fulfill the vision. So unlike when I was in the Girls Brigade and we would march and we would shout out, I am not going to be doing any raps or any, you know, what do you call them? Not majorettes, the ones with the pom-poms and give me an S, give me an R. We're not going to do anything like that, so you'll be really pleased. And for those of you, for those of you who may not have been with us as a church for very long, I want to reassure you that we don't stand at the front of the church as leaders at the beginning of every year or every few years saying, now this is going to be our new vision for Forest Gate Church, and it all changes. You think, oh, I just got the hang of the last one. It stays the same. Okay, so to help us really this morning, understand, I guess, how these words work together and really cement them into our hearts and our minds, we are going to use the story of Moses. And I have some props as well, because I find props useful for me. So I find it'll be useful to be able to have props to see how can we then relate that to us and what that means for us here. So if you've got Bibles or phones and you want to get out, we are not going to spend 5 hours reading the whole story of Moses. But if you start with Exodus 2, that will help you, and there will be prompts on the slides and things for where we are. So we are going to start with serve. Moses was born to serve. I don't know if you have really read the story of Moses or understand about the time that he was born. God's people were living in Egypt, and they were becoming very numerous. And Pharaoh at the time was not happy with the Israelites, felt very threatened by them, and treated them very cruelly. And they had become slaves to the Egyptians and were not very happy. So Pharaoh said, I would like all the baby boys that are born to be thrown into the Nile and killed. So what a time. This was the time that Moses was born. Almost an impossible time to live. But his mum, when she saw him, knew there was something special about him. And so she actually tried to keep him quiet. Kept him quiet for 3 months. And then when she couldn't do that any longer, she put him in a basket and placed him in the Nile and hoped that he might be saved. And he was. Where did he land? At Pharaoh's daughter's feet. And she had compassion on him and she kept him. He was born to serve God with a special mission at a time at that awful genocide. He was saved with a purpose. And God had that purpose that he would use Moses to set his people free from the Egyptians and take them to the promised land. Now, for my first prop, this is where I've got to keep quiet, haven't I, Mike, in case I go all blurry. See if we can do it without. Right, for those of you listening at home, I'm putting on a Forest Gate Church apron. Many of you have seen me wear this, doing coffee bars and things, and many of you wear them. Do you know what? When we're born again, and we first come into God's family, our first priority is to serve God. A bit like Moses there. We're born to serve God, born again to serve him. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to do lots of practical things. But very often, being part of the church family, whether you are new or you've been part of God's family for a long time, you will end out just serving. And that probably means donning on an apron sometimes and just getting stuck in, even if it's something you're not very passionate about. Because that's what it's about, coming alongside each other to serve. And we have a vision and values document, and on the website we have little snippets of what we've got against serve, and I'm just going to read that out to you. Just as Jesus served his disciples and instructed them to do the same to others, we serve our community, whether by helping in schools, hosting meals for senior citizens, serving each other in church services, or partnering with other community groups for events. So that is serve. As we come in, we serve. So I want us to look at reach, because when we serve, we end up reaching people. So let's go back to Moses. So Moses, he grew up in a palace with Pharaoh. He grew up understanding Egyptian ways, but there was a point that he actually understood who he was. He wasn't Egyptian. He was a Hebrew person, part of God's people, the Israelites. And he did not like the way his people were being treated by the Egyptians. And this anger grew up in him. And when he saw a man being treated so badly by an Egyptian, he lashed out. And it caused this man to die. He tried to cover up the body, hoping nobody would have seen, but they did. In fact, the gossip line in Egypt was quite quick because it got back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh wanted him dead. So what did he do? He fled. He went. He went out into the desert, a place called Midian, which is where he ended up meeting Jethro. Now, Jethro had a daughter called Zipporah, who he married, and he worked for Jethro there, out with sheep and goats and whatever else would have been there. It says herd, so whatever you want to say, looking after a herd, as he was one day hoping that life maybe was calm and quiet and he'd run away from it all. Oh no, God turned up to meet with him in the form of a burning bush. Can you imagine that? God turns up when you're having that moment of quiet out with your herd in the form of a burning bush. Take off your sandals. You are standing on holy ground. And I think, you know, this really is God. The presence of God must have been so strong. And God says to him, I have heard the cries of my people. I can understand they're in pain in this slavery. I want you to reach the Israelites and tell them that I want to deliver them out of Egypt and into the promised land. There'll be some verses coming up, you know, and Moses does argue quite a lot with God. And you think, you know, that's why I'm saying, you know, imagine the presence of God here, you know, even if in a week's time you go, nah, I don't think so. So I can't do that, Lord. I'm not eloquent. I can't speak all this. And I, you know, this verse 13 in Exodus 4, pardon your servant, Lord. Can't you find somebody else? You know, straight. It's like, okay. God does get a little bit narked with him on that. But you know what? God has already sent Aaron, his biological brother, out to meet him in the wilderness. And in Exodus 4:16, he shall speak for you. This is Aaron will speak for you to the people. And he shall be your mouth. And you shall be as God to him. So sharing what it is. And we've got to remember, if Moses grew up at a time where maybe Hebrew wasn't his first language, maybe he spoke Egyptian more eloquently. And he needed somebody who could speak to the Israelites. And don't forget, ultimately, he would then have to be going to Pharaoh. So I want to read this to you. Exodus 3, verses 18 to 20. So this is God saying, look, I'm going to tell you from beginning to end how this is going to work. The elders of Israel, they will listen to you. You might think they won't, but they will. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And that is what happened. But isn't it interesting? So you've got Moses, and Aaron is going to help. And then you read that actually the elders are to come with you. So what was just, I can't do this, Lord. I don't know if you felt like that when you know there's people that God's asking you to reach. He will give you the people that you need around you. We don't need to do this by ourselves. Now, I want somebody who's got good balance. This is my next prop, a chair. Who would like to come and stand on the chair for me, please? Anybody got... Come on, Sarah. So we just make sure you've got plenty of room around. I'm here if you fall. So this is my prop. So what I want to do, I don't know about you, but in my kitchen, if you've got to get to the top shelf of anything in the kitchen, I can't do it without a chair. I have to drag a dining room chair over, get up, and then reach. And if I'm on the ground, this is my reach. So Sarah, if you're on a chair, where's your reach? And you see what a difference that makes using a chair. Yeah, okay, thank you, Sarah, that's great. So I need a chair, just like we need each other. So it's a bit funny using a chair, I know. But it shows, if that's people holding you underneath, how much more your reach is extended when you do things together. Classic now, when the children are around, having these sons that are just so much taller than me, they know now. They say, Mum, what are you doing? Why are you getting the chair? What do you need? They go. And they, do you know what they need to do? When I reach, like Sarah was on the chair, I still have to feel like that for what I want. Oh no, they can see what I want. And they just go, there you go. And so they are helping me. And I suppose if you go back, Aaron was the mouthpiece for Moses. Sometimes we need to be that for each other in different situations. It is important that we learn to be able to reach together. So on the website for Reach, as Jesus said that his purpose was to seek and save the lost, we aim to fulfill his mandate to do the same. As such, we want people to know that Jesus loves them and died so that they could be free in life. We want to see people become followers of Jesus, and that is why we want to reach people. And we hope and we pray, oh, I've got to remember that's behind me there, that they will come into the house of God and they will be followers of Jesus. And this is where nurture comes in. So, God did amazing wonders with Moses. You probably know the story with the staff and everything else. And Pharaoh did have to let God's people go. Did wonderful things. Remember the sea parting so they could go through. They were free people. Amazing. However, they had a lot of needs. They had nothing. They'd left everything behind. They were free people. So God nurtured them. So God nurtured the people of Israel. If we look there at Exodus 13, verse 21, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. They were protected. Anybody ever been to a desert? I know Steve and I have actually been to this desert. It's hot. I had to wrap myself completely because of the sun. And if I'd had a cloud above me, what relief that would have brought. And that's what the people had. And it was guiding them, and a fire at night. We also had barbecues and things, didn't we, in the desert there. Where Moses was wandering, and it's cold, very cold at night, and very dark, and you do need fire. God provided for them, and you'll read of wonderful miracles in Exodus 15 and 16, how God provided water and food. There was this bitter water, and God said, throw a plank into that water, and it made it sweet and beautiful for them to drink. Gave them places of beautiful palm trees so they could rest and have refreshment. And what a wonder about the food, hey? Came straight from heaven. After the dew was dry in the morning, they came out and it was like flakes, and they picked it up and they made bread. It was like sweet honeyed wafers, it says. And at night they had meat. Quail. They could collect quail and eat meat. So for their physical nurturing. And I think sometimes we have to remember this with church. When we say nurture, we often think, it must be just spiritual. But actually, we need to practically look after each other. Spiritual nurturing as well. Because actually, this is the beginning of things being recorded. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments at this time. Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17. All those Ten Commandments on stone tablets, they were put down. This is giving the people the right way to live, an understanding of what they need to live by, and we still use them today. So, I have a little story about nurturing, and it comes in the form of this dear little plant, Some of you may still have a plant like this. The children and I here sold plants in order to raise money for Rita, sort of last October time. And this was one that nobody wanted to buy. So it has been, it's been on the windowsill at the Y&C. And on Tuesday morning, Mum was in the kitchen and it was really sad and really dead. And it was all yellow and it was very limp. And she said, I think we need to look after this. And I thought, oh, my sermon. I was watching her. So she fed it, looked after it, and she was sort of fussing around. She's very good at plants. I don't know whether she was whispering to it, but I think she gave it water, really. 2 hours, and it started to perk up. And I have had the job of taking care of it this week to make sure that it's still okay. And you know what? Living beings, growing beings, we need looking after. We need nurturing and developing. And you know what? In the house of God, it's the same thing. When you come in, you know, I don't know whether people really hear you if they have a lot of physical needs sometimes that need to be met. And we need to do that. And then we read it, and don't we, in the passages about as a new Christian, you have to start on baby milk to digest and just about manage that. And then you go on to your nice chunks of meat and things as you mature as a Christian. So let's have a look about what it says for nurture on the website. Ooh, I'm going to drop that behind me. The Bible tells us that we are to encourage each other in the ways of God and that we should strive to become more like Jesus. Therefore, we invest in each other as we grow together in our faith. Okay, so as we do that, we should then know and mature and be ready to be sent. Whether that is to know where we should be in our workplace, where we should know where we should be going, where God's calling us to, we should be ready to be sent. So I'm going to go back again to our story in Moses. And we read in Exodus 18 about how Moses was serving as a judge for the people. And it happened every day from morning until evening. And so that meant any little dispute that came up, anything that was going on, came to Moses. He was the leader, so everybody goes to him. He is the one who's provided. He's gone to God, so they need water, they need food. He's given them the Ten Commandments, all this kind of stuff. So he had to settle everything. Anyway, he had a visitor, and his father-in-law, Jethro. Do you remember Jethro? He came to visit them. And in verse 17 of Exodus 18, it says, "What you are doing, Moses, is not good. You will wear yourself out." He said, "You need to appoint people to help you. Good men, people who are trustworthy, that are reliable, and put them in charge of people. They can settle some of these disputes. Okay, if it gets too hard, they could come back to you. But this will make your load lighter." And that is exactly what Moses did. I have to say, I found it really interesting where Moses appointed officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens of people. So probably depending on what they could cope with, if they felt, I'll have the 10, you know, you can look after 10 people's needs and things, and you can look after 50, some of you can look after 100, and some of you can look after thousands, because there was a lot of people, thousands and thousands and thousands. Don't forget, that's how Pharaoh felt. They were getting far too numerous. They were growing and growing. This was a big group of people, and it did make his load lighter. Now, for this prop, I've got a suitcase, okay? So if you can't see my suitcase, there might be a suitcase that appears somewhere at some point. Do you know, as leaders, we appoint people to oversee groups and ministries here in the church who will look after and lead people well. And in that sense, we send them out to the job that they're called to do. And I don't know about you, but when you hear the word send in church, very often we think, oh, that's the people who are working abroad. And it does, in effect, when people go out on mission trips, we are sending them. We make sure that as they're away, we're going to be praying for them, maybe support them financially, and they'll come back and encourage the church. So that is true. And there's many people here that are called to do different things where we send them out. Melanie with CAP, Karen with Gloucester City Mission, different things like that where we go out, Ruth with Breathe and the mentoring and all that kind of thing, we're sending you out. But actually, it does mean every single one of us. And it means that every week, whether we're together in church, home group, wherever you meet with your brothers and sisters, that you will have a case. And that you would fill up your case with encouragement, with prayer being built up, so that you can be sent out to your families. Maybe that's where God's calling you to be with. Your workplace. Just the different things. It doesn't mean say you have to be a leader of something, but you are sent out by each other. Do you know, this case would do me no good whatsoever. In fact, it wouldn't do me any good at all at the moment because it's empty. And if you take your case away overnight, you would really hope you've got some pajamas in there, some fresh clothes for tomorrow, some toothpaste, and a flannel. At least that, I would say. That's all the other bits and pieces. Oh, I need tea bags. I need my special coffee. I don't know if you like me. Oh, I need my mug. But they're not important. But this would do me no good, would it? So just imagine, just visualize for a minute being sent. And you've got your encouragement and your prayer, and you know that you can do that. And off you go. And why have I got a bag only this size? Because I hope that I'm going to come back with my brothers and sisters very, very soon to fill it back up again. Being sent, we are all sent. So this is what it says for send. As Jesus was sent, so we follow his instructions to send out others. And this can involve training and resourcing and those called to minister in all sorts of ways. But you know, once you've been sent, you're serving. And there's a reason I have kept this penny on, not just because I'm attached to it or I love it, but you are serving in every area. And when you're reaching, you're serving. And when you're nurturing people, you are serving. And in sending, you are serving. Serving is at the heart of it all. And it is all the way through. So, I want to go back to the original vision that Moses received from God to deliver his people from the hand of Pharaoh and bring them to that promised land. What did he say? A land flowing of milk and honey, a beautiful place for them to go. However, Moses didn't actually get to go into the promised land. And we read in Deuteronomy 31 about Moses handing over the legacy of taking God's people to this land to Joshua. And in verses 7 and 8, it says this. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall be put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. So Moses saw the promised land, but he didn't get to go in it. And you'll need to read the whole story to find out what happened. But you know what? John and I have been handed this vision in the legacy of the leaders that have been in this position before us. And this legacy has a very rich heritage that has been passed to us for generations. And we will pass it on to others in the future. We are very clear that our mandate is to reach families through kids, youth, family and senior citizens work in this community and the surrounding areas. There are many historical documents and that actually it shows us the family work for this vision going back generations. The records that we hold in the chapel building show sort of all the facts and figures, really, of working with children and the young people especially. And interestingly, the changes then that were needed to the building to accommodate that work every time. So this gives us the evidence that we can see this vision has been the same for generations in this place. And it will be. We won't change it. This is what our vision is. So we're at the beginning of a very exciting year of taking hold of this vision that God has given us here. And it's now our job to remind each other of this vision. And with these words, it'll help us with a bit of a motto to breathe some life into it. So there are some things I want to give out in a minute, and I just want to leave you with some of the words that have been given on our last day of prayer and fasting, and they are on this card, so you don't have to write them down or remember them. What are you waiting for? God is ready and willing to move. Are you ready to enter into all that God has for us? Amen. So I'm just going to ask for a bit of help so that the worship team are able to come up, maybe to put some of the props back away. And if there are a few people who'd be willing to hand these out, that would be great as I finish up. Thank you. So can I get another helper? Thank you very much. So for those of you who may have never seen this, this is in our welcome pack, and it's our visions and values. And just want everybody to have that so that you can see it. If you never got one for some reason, that will tell you all the different things of the vision and values. And I had this made up this week. Lucy helped me with this. This is all the verses that have been given to us as recently as 2 weeks ago to as long as 15 years ago. Verses that we have felt time and time again are really important, so that you've got that. It's one size, you can stick it on the fridge, and when we're asking you to pray about stuff, you will have those as well. So we're going to take the next few months going through each of those banners and unpacking them throughout the next few weeks.